Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard, and I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
Core is powered by listeners and viewers like you. To support Core and its hosts, go to patreon.com/coreshow today.
Come on, Varian. I know you can fight better than that.
Off the mirror.
This is Core. Serve this to a donkey.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Core. It is Core. Now, if you're watching the video version of the show, you might notice a little something new. John is a Siberian woman looking for trash. John. John and I are wearing luchador masks. Boy, I blew that whole thing. Anyway, we're wearing luchador masks. Can you tell? Can you hear it, audio listeners? I don't know if they can tell if we're wearing these or not, but we're wearing them.
Hello, gentlemen. Do you have any codes for Heroes of Storm?
You're like a little Armenian woman with her like pulled back hair out, scrubbing around for, you know, scraps or whatever. No offense,
you
Armenians.
You look hungry. Do you want some food? I'm making food.
It's a new character for Saturdays. Anyway, we got these cool masks in the mail, kind of unannounced. They just showed up, and they're luchador masks. John and I have a goal to wear these the entire episode. It should not affect how this episode sounds to the end user listener. It should only affect how it sounds to John and I, right? Because I got a little muffle going on, but I can live with it.
You also have headphones over your mask.
Yeah, so I have a thin layer of Mylar or Zortex or whatever this stuff is. I don't know what this stuff is. But it's a fine layer between my ears and its ability to perceive and the actual sound. That's okay. I'm going to make it through. Although my beard itch is real bad right now. Really bad.
Welcome to it.
Woo!
It's the time.
How do these luchadors do it, man? Don't know. But thanks, Blizzard, for that. Bo's probably got his stuck in customs somewhere. In fact, a customs agent, Bo, is probably wearing this thing, running around the office or whatever they have, going, oh, look at me. I'm Jack Black or whatever they think is going on with the...
Like, you think this is for lovemaking, eh?
You think
who wears a mask like that?
Think this is I don't know, Bill.
But we should put a bat in the box. No, maybe I'd take it out for a test spin before I put it back in.
Yeah, and they'll do that, right? And then you'll get it, and it'll smell like what? Like fries and gravy?
Like great. It'll smell like Nash Maggard.
Poutine.
It will smell like poutine.
Everyone loves the smell of poutine. Hey, look, it's Core, everybody. It's the Heroes of the Storm podcast. We're back at it. It's Wednesday. Welcome to it. It's May 30th, the end of the month. We are happy to be here. Nice to see a nice, vibrant chat room today. Thank you all for being here and enduring this physical monstrosity that we have created visually on your screen. Let's dive right in, guys, and talk about something that that landed literally after we finished our last episode, which was a real bummer. I hate when that happens. I hate it when it happens across all my shows. But when news drops and we just finished, it's kind of frustrating. But we talked about loot boxes last week and event-based loot boxes, and all that stuff came up in a bunch of conversation. We really had it out on the show about where we're at with loot boxes, what we like, what we don't like, what we'd like to see changed, and all of that. Almost right after the show ended, Blizzard makes the significant changes to how loot boxes work at a fundamental level, at least regarding this current event and perhaps moving forward. So, Bo, you were the one that broke the news to us in Slack and said, oh my gosh, did we just turn off the mics? Look at this. Do you want to break down what they're doing? What did they change? Why? Why did they change it? And clearly it had nothing to do with us because we were recording when this was obviously already decided, so we can't take credit. But what do you think of all this?
So let me take a quick look, because so it looks like that the likelihood for the Nexomania items will increase over Suns Out, Guns Out items, which was a source of ire. So that's good. And also, if you use gems to buy Nexomania loot boxes prior to 7 p.m. on May 23rd, you'll receive a new number of Nexomania loot chests equal to the amount you purchased. John, how many did you purchase your 50 billion boxes before May 23rd at 7 p.m.?
I did.
Oh my God, you're getting double the boxes.
Did you get them?
I did get double the boxes. It was nice. I logged in and there were a whole bunch of boxes. And I thought, I'm going to be responsible and I'm going to wait until I have the gold to open these properly because I was out of gold. And then I opened them all.
And you got them then. So,
well, not anymore. They have been opened.
Oh, you opened the second one?
Yeah.
Yeah. You didn't savor them? John doesn't hold on to them the way you do. He doesn't keep them.
Why would I hold on to them?
How much reroll power did you have on these? Didn't you burn through
very
a bunch of
little?
John, impulse control.
Sounds like something on the Starship Enterprise. Somebody get me impulse control.
I don't work in that department. Shirt is not for that station.
Hold on a second, though. Bo's wearing a newspaper on his head, chat room. A few people are confused why he doesn't have a mask. He's got a newspaper on his head. As close as we could get. I'm sure the word lucha and maybe door is in one of those articles on his head. The point is, that's a nice little effort they made there for people who sunk a bunch of money there. So clearly we were, you know, at the very least reflecting what a lot of people were feeling, or else I don't know that they would have made this change. This feels like probably, you know, the reason they did this was because of direct pressure from the community. And I don't necessarily mean negative pressure, but maybe, I don't know, maybe there was enough disdain in various forums that they were just like, oh yeah, you know what? It's a little weird how we're doing this. Let's rethink it and redo it. And they did a nice little make good there, which is good. John, did you get that stuff before you knew about the change, or you knew about the change before you got the stuff?
No, I got the stuff before. I did not know. Because remember, this is what we talked about last week with my experiment to see what felt better, buying one of the bundles or opening the equivalent amount of money in loot boxes. And so it was a very welcome thing to get that many loot boxes. It felt good. Yeah. I still don't know where I would land as far as saying, you know, I think ultimately if you love all the stuff, you're better off just buying the bundles.
Right.
Like, you're ultimately going to spend less money. You're probably, your best bet, if I'm being honest with you, is to play as much as you're going to play, earn what you can. Hopefully you get exceptionally lucky, and then just buy the bundle at the end of the event at a reduced price.
Sure.
Like, that's kind of the ultimate goal, because I still don't think the loot boxes pan out to be worth it unless you have a lot of reroll ability, which I don't, because I'm always operating at approximately no gold. So, but one thing that I think is probably the biggest news of this that's also very exciting is they said going forward, new hero skins that are included in larger event bundles will also be available in separate skin packs. And each pack will be purchasable using gems and will contain all currently available versions of that skin. So if you went into this event and said, you know what, I'm really into Karazim right now. That's what I like. And that's where my thing is. Mm-hmm. You don't have to buy one of the bundles to get that. There will be a separate Karazim at that time. Okay. It's not there for this one, but that'll be going forward.
So they're going to do that. Okay. That I like. I like that a lot. I think that feels a lot better. They also made a note to let everybody know that if you got loot chests during the event from normal progression, so you're just, you know, you dinged a level, you got a loot chest, those are not being reimbursed because there's nothing to reimburse. You didn't pay for them. They just, yeah. You paid for them with time and sweat and hard work. But not money. Yeah. So
how I play heroes, really. I'm like, oh.
You know, there's a few people out there who did some edging that got shafted.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
You guys know about that, right?
I've heard of this, but why don't you explain it for the non-initiated?
It's the practice of before the event happens, you get all your characters like within 100,000 experience points of leveling, roughly.
Mm. Yeah.
So that they're ready to level come event time. I wonder if they thought ahead to that sort of that being a thing in this game. And I wonder how many people really do it. I never really do it, but I usually have 6 or 7 that I can edge.
Mm.
So I wonder, you know,
how do you know? So, I mean, how do you know you're going to not screw up, win really hard and get enough XP and you have a booster and you're going to end up going over the line?
I think visually, if it's before the 75% of the almost circle, mm-hmm. that feels, you're probably good. If you have mm-hmm. to play 2 games, maybe not a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's a thing, but I don't know how many people throw all 70. So Nexomania drops and like, boom, 70 games later. And then they didn't, you know, benefit from it. It's too bad.
Right.
It's too bad.
Here's a quote they gave us toward the end of this announcement. This change doesn't mean big event bundles are down for the count. We still plan to add them to the game, but wanted to give players more variety when it comes to picking up new event items. Overall, I think this is all good. It doesn't, you know, mm-hmm. there are larger issues that we discussed last week. We've discussed on other episodes. And many in the community are talking about these things, of course, that are not being addressed with this. I mean, this doesn't fix all the issues with the current loot system and the way that loot boxes work and all that. But it's definitely a step in the right direction, especially as it applies to events. So I say well done, Blizzard. I think
the response time was pretty quick. That's what impressed me the most, was just how quickly after the event started.
It's almost so quick. It's like, wait a minute, did they have a notion that this was going to be a problem and they just thought, well, let's see how it goes. Oop, we already getting backlash. Okay, quick, change it. Like, it's so, I'm not trying to, you know, cast any sort of weird conspiracy their direction or anything. I'm just saying it seemed real quick. Like, what, two days after the patch or something?
I have to imagine that, like, at least Blizzard, for sure, but I don't think all companies are, but, like, several game companies are very cognizant of the fact that, like, gamers are the pickiest customers in the universe.
Yeah.
Like a meme will trigger them. Like, you know, poor Star Wars, probably a good game. Never play it because, oh, power creep in my loot boxes. And all of a sudden it lives and dies on these. Like, it's like everyone got a fly in their soup at some restaurant. Like that, the probability of that actually happening, even in a dirty restaurant, is probably really low. But in Gamerland, that's like, it's like everyone got a big turd in their soup. You know, it's just like, it's at such a scale that it's so insane. So I know Blizzard's pretty good at picking up on what their community is telling.
They tend to be. I know they pay attention. This is a good sign of that. So well done, Blizzard. We'll see how it goes moving forward. Let's talk about Quick Match for a minute. It's always fun to go back to Quick Match. Talk about what Quick Match is for. All my favorite people in Heroes of the Storm, including professional players all the way down to casters, streamers, and fellow podcasters, all play Quick Match here and there. It's not all 100% of the time competitive where you're, you know, drafting and everything. Some people just want to get in, play some quick games, try the new hero out, mess about, do some quests, whatever it is. Earn some of that gold so you can do rerolls, whatever it is. And so it's good to return to that mode, I think, as a discussion point once in a while and talk about it. So it's kind of tricky. There's old comps you have to deal with. There's people watching HEC that are trying to force new meta into the more casual game mode of the game. There's a freedom in me being able to say, all right, I'm going to play Deckard Cain because I can, and whoever this matches me up with you know, be damned. Who cares? It doesn't matter. I came in here to play Deckard Cain, and that's I'm going to get mashed with a bunch of people, and that's going to be our comp. That's a great amount of freedom, but there is a big cost to that freedom. And the costs are many. John, I throw it to you. Let's discuss that. And are the costs too high?
Well, I mean, I guess we kind of know that they are, because we do know that ultimately changes are coming to Quick Match, and that at a certain point we're going to get required comps. You know, we're going to have at least certain requirements met for a proper comp, even in Quick Match. Mm-hmm. And I think that's going to be a welcome change. You know, we'll see how it ultimately all goes down. But right now, Quick Match is the Wild West. It's their biggest, most common mode. But if you decided I want to go in and play a DPS, your match quality is very questionable what you might see, mm-hmm. especially depending on who you pick. If you get put in the special queue, there's a couple heroes that people may or may not know about. You pick them. Congratulations, you're in special queue. You didn't know it, but I hope you enjoy playing against a Nova or an Abathur or a Taronda, because you got put in the special queue. And yeah. I think these are all things that you know, make it kind of feel like the Wild West right now. And I think that's the stuff that's going to be ultimately addressed. But, you know, I think it's worth mentioning to people, you know, kind of our thoughts on where Quick Match is at right now and where we think it's going to go. And for me, there's a period of time where I was stalwart. You should just be playing unranked draft. Mm-hmm. Don't even bother going into Quick Match. Mm-hmm. And I guess depending on how things go on any given night, I still feel that's true.
Yeah.
It will make you turn on your friends.
Oh yeah.
Because yeah. here's the problem that happens. You have you're playing as a you know, a five stack, let's say. You have somebody come in and they say, "You know what? I'm with my friends. I get to pick my hero. Nobody's going to judge me here. This is a safe space. It's time to break out the Abathur." The problem is you have me on the team who immediately goes, "Oh, you're putting us in the special queue."
Yeah. We tried to do this on purpose last week. Kyle was trying to make it so we ended up being against an Abathur. And
yeah, he tried to force it.
He tried to force it. And he's using that, this whole thing we're talking about, he's using that as a way to do that. And if you force it, we were going to kind of cheese them with a counter that was going to be interesting. It didn't happen that time, but for the most part, you can kind of count on getting that some of those people out of that special queue are going to come into your weird games like that. And there's some exploitation happening there. Well, at least we were going to experiment in it. Well, we didn't get a chance to. So I don't actually know how that goes down. But the best luck we had last week is just picking heroes that we're all good with, and then we win games. Weird, yeah. Right? Really weird how that works out. Bo, you've said many times on this show, Quick Match is exactly what you get. You get in, you shouldn't expect good matching. You shouldn't expect anything. You should expect like just a fun, goofy time. Somebody might feed. Somebody may throw the game for you. Lots of things can happen. And you always kind of had this sort of zen attitude about Quick Match. And I wonder if you retain that now. Do you still hold with that idea that it's still a fine place to go and spend your time?
yeah, because it's the least... It's the least there's opportunity cost, or just like you can play without too much emotional investment. But I'd argue that it's a little bit unhealthy. There's this weird balance, right? So when I go into ranked, I go ready to play, mm-hmm. and when I'm in Quick Match, that's where I go when I'm, you know, just the worst. Like just I'm tired, or I'm just like whatever. You know, and I feel like that's the contract, basically. So if you're someone who's like, "Man, I'm going to get good at ETC, let me practice some ETC, going to take in a Quick Match, play some AI games, I'm newer to the game." My advice to you is like, expect to lose. Mm. And just, you know, because that's the contract in that mode. And Unranked, the draft of Unranked was served to be a bridge. And I think it actually succeeds. I don't play Unranked too much, but when I play there, people try to make comps and try to play as correct as they can. but the skill level varies a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot more factors, but generally speaking, a quick match, you shouldn't like pin any emotional satisfaction about the outcome of the game to it, because it can just really not go your way because of teammates or because of matchmaking.
Right.
In particular, I played 6 or 7 games last night. 6 of them were losses. I had like 1 win all night, and it didn't matter too much to me. I mean, I prefer win, but you know, I had the infamous queued up as Lost Vikings to get a specialist game in. I just wanted to play them. Had Butcher and Leeming and Zeratul and Assassin match, and I just got run over. I just got run over, you know, and it wasn't that fun, because the rest of my team, like 2 minutes in, was like, let's just let it end. They're like, and they weren't blaming me. They weren't like toxic towards me. They were just, no, this is the quick match meta. The quick match meta is you win at matchmaking. Whichever team, I noticed there's a few things that were happening. A, every healer that I've been like pumping up on this show beat me last night. He's like, Kerzeem, there he is, kicking my ass. Oriole, oh shit, I played a Deckard Cain game, kicking my ass.
Yeah.
And every team that beat me has a Butcher. Butcher is like an overwhelming force in the quick match meta.
Right.
And doesn't always win, but like it just feels like constantly losing to Butcher and winning with it when I get Q in it.
Right.
So there is this kind of like meta to quick match that after a while really sucks, because you also start to feel like when you win, your matches are, because it's like you win because you got Genji, Kerrigan, and Butcher, and you just press your buttons and delete somebody, and that's what you've been doing for 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, so, I feel like a support, as someone who likes to play support, I end up doing that a lot more in quick match when I'm by myself. I'm solo queuing.
Yeah,
I like doing that because, I don't know, the contract's even simpler. It's just, I have a job. My job is to keep these strangers alive the best I can. Like, that's it. So I tend to pick a more pure healer. I'll try to have my fun in there, but I'm playing like, all right, I don't know you, but you need to live. So I'm here.
I'd say support is not that bad to random into quick match with.
Yeah.
You'd think it was, but like you exactly described, it can be kind of relaxing, actually. So you're like, well, I'm playing a very passive healer. I'm queuing and sleeping. That's like, I'm not going to go chase somebody past the tower because I didn't pick an assassin or something.
Yeah. It's surprising.
I had somebody the other day, I know this is getting somewhat away from quick match as a topic, yell at me for my healing in an AI game.
Oh, wow.
And it was I marveled at it. Because
it was a child, clearly.
I was just like, wait a minute.
You don't need to feel bad. It was clearly.
Do you know why I'm here? Do you know why I'm in here in AI? It's because I don't play this hero, and I wanted to experience it. Why are you trying hard in versus AI? What are you doing?
You queued up with a young person and taking their game very seriously. It's a matter of scale. It has to be.
But my favorite thing was this. It was a Blaze. They were playing Blaze.
Yeah.
Okay.
And their strategy is Blaze. The person who was exceptionally critical. I did not point this out to them because I understood what we were all doing in AI games.
Yeah.
We were all trying to learn. But whenever they did bunker drop, they would just sit in there and do nothing. They would just bunker drop, jump in. You wouldn't see any fire come out.
Yeah.
And you would just watch all the AI characters just move past it and walk away. And you would just see this little bunker out in the middle of the battlefield. Nobody around it. Nobody touching it. Nobody doing anything. And Blaze is just in there like, yeah, we're going to do this.
Yeah. It's a weird place.
Very, very quiet.
It's a weird place. I mean, it's my least favorite place to play with friends, not because I don't like you guys, but because bad games and bad matches aren't always anything to do with us. But all we can do is complain at ourselves and each other. You know what I mean? Like, it's hard to do much else. So if things are going really bad and they do that for 5 games in a row, you're just like, gosh, dang it. I don't even want to talk to these people anymore. And that sucks. I don't like that. I mean, it's never gotten that bad, but you know what I mean? Like, there's this feeling of like frustration. And when you're all done, you realize, well, I'm not even frustrated with my teammates. They're not the problem. It's somebody else. Or even if the other teammates were good, our 2 Randalls were good, sometimes they're just, it's so lopsided that we can't pull it together and it just doesn't matter and you get frustrated. So in those cases, I think draft mode, unranked draft is like the way to go.
And you got other funny business in quick match too. Like we got stomped in the game last night. Yeah. And I looked at their profiles and it was like, it was three master level players on the team. My team had like platinums and bronzes, you know, it was like, yeah. Oh, I see why we got stomped. Like there's less of that matchmaking business on the quick match side. The one thing I will say is what we expect from quick match, which is like, we want the convenience of logging in and playing a pretty light game. Everyone meets up on the sidewalk, play some street hockey. And it's like, when you're playing street hockey, you know, you're not like Wayne Gretzky playing, but you kind of pretend you're having that NHL, you know, as a young person, I mean, you know, that you're having that NHL experience. I may have watched a Stanley Cup game this week and think I'm an expert now on hockey, but you want to have that experience. I think the same is true when you log into a Heroes game. Yes, it's quick match. Yes, you had the convenience of picking whatever hero you wanted, but you still kind of want to have that fantasy that your game is as cool as an HGC game, let's say, or, you know, matters to that extent. It's nice to have that narrative or that feeling or that experience, like, my game is an important game, even though, you know, it really isn't. And I think it underscores how much it's not in a bad way when you get these assassin comps or you get these strange things and you're going, Blizzard matchmaking, why? And it's not really like it's the matchmaking, but it's doing its job correctly, I think. It's just that it's not calibrated to that faux HGC experience, which even like the most casual, even that guy in AI who wants you to heal, John, he wants to have that HGC like experience in the game, right? Like that, he wants to have that Heroes meta experience in the game. And so that's why I think they're heading with the way quick match works, which is to give you more of a feeling like you're playing street hockey version of real NHL hockey, you know?
So. Yeah. It's entirely, it's entirely possible that it will just keep getting better, or it's possible that it may end up being the stepchild of the way the game works. I don't know. I think it's a hard challenge. And once again, I think going in with expectations that this is not meant to be the most precision-based play you're going to have. This is meant to be a big trade-off. Your freedom to pick who you want, and you're trading that for a whole lot of unknown. So get used to it, people. Get used to it. All right, I titled this next part Hero to Zero. It's a dumb name, but I have a question for the three of us, and that is, when do you think we're going to hear about the next hero? It has been a while, and I've noticed a bunch of Reddit threads and other stuff popping up going, yeah, what's going on? Usually we hear by now. I think this is all part of their plan. They said they were going to slow down the rollouts of new heroes. That was, you know, they're at that phase where they can start doing that. Feels like Decker Kane was kind of the last one to be in the rapid succession. So knowing that, I'm not that bothered or put out because I know something's coming. It'll come whenever it comes. But do we have any predictions? John, when do you think we get a new hero finally announced or teased at least or something?
I think with us being at the end of the week right now, I think teased next week, PTR the week following, and then out the week after that.
Wow. Okay. Do you have any? Do you think they'll tie into this to E3 at all? Any reason to expect that?
No. I mean, you always want it, right? Because you always look at E3 and you're like, man, it'd be so cool if Blizzard did something, but they never do. I mean, like, usually if they do, it's like, oh, we're putting Diablo on console, you know, like, or something like that. It's usually not big things at E3. Blizzard doesn't seem to care that much about E3.
Mm.
Although, is Activision doing their own presentation? They do their own presentation.
They do. Activision does their own thing. It is possible. They've done it before. You remember the year Metzen came out? This is a long time ago, but he came out. I want to say it was the same year that Valve sent what's-his-name out to talk about Portal and the PlayStation 3 compatibility or whatever. But they had Metzen come out and announce Diablo for consoles. And it was short, and it wasn't that big a deal, and they didn't really dwell on it, but it was kind of a big deal to see Blizzard show up there. But normally, Blizzard's not part of this. It's usually Call of Duty and whatever else they have going on. Here's the difference this year, though. This is a Activision with a lot less to show for their own publishing end. Mm-hmm. Like, they really have Black Ops 4 whatever's still going on with Destiny content. That's even EA I'm thinking of with that other game, so that doesn't even count. I think they really don't have, I mean, other than maybe a new IP we don't know about yet or something, they're, I think, woefully short on content for their presentation this year. So I wouldn't be surprised if either, it's entirely possible that Blizzard plays a bigger role. They could come out and make this the announcement platform for Diablo 4 or for other stuff around Blizzard. I don't know if they'll do any hero stuff, but I could totally see that as a way of filling things out, because they don't, it feels a little wimpy. And I'm not even 100% sure they're doing one this year, like their own. I guess I could look that up, but I don't know if Activision has their own. I assume they do. They always do.
Yeah, I got to figure out what the schedule is for that. But I'll say one thing that has changed for them is Blizzard has always been a big company that gets a lot of attention and a lot of likes and all of that. But they, you know, beyond World of Warcraft, they've never had the most dominant major big game in the world until Overwatch. Mm-hmm. And now they're kind of back at that again. It's not, you know, it's not Fortnite or PUBG, but it's still, you know, like, it's still, they talk about a character once and it's on every news site in the world.
Oh, it's
like,
enormous.
Like,
yeah.
Overwatch sets the world on fire every time they look at somebody funny. Mm-hmm. So there's a chance that maybe that does put them in a position where Activision says, no, if you have something to talk about with Overwatch, you do it on the E3 stage, you know?
Right. Yeah. I'd love it. What do you think, Bo? You think that?
I love that. I don't know if you've seen the spoof of This Is America.
No.
Somebody did a spoof video of the Donald Glover song or the Childish Gambino song, but it's This Is Overwatch.
Oh, no way.
It's like, Kaplan, buy some loot boxes. Kaplan, buy some loot boxes. Anyways, it's amazing.
I kind of want to
see Overwatch memes are still best memes.
All my, that's that song, that This Is America song, was in my house constantly for about a week and a half, and now I feel like it's finally subsiding. Dude has an impact, apparently. Hey, guess what, guys? Donald Glover's popular. He's got.
Was he good? He was good in Solo. You liked it?
Yeah, I liked him in Solo. I thought he was. I thought he was Lando. Like,
yeah.
How awesome. Much more Lando do you get? I mean, you might even say he was. It was too much of an impression of Lando, if there's any criticism. But yeah, I think
there's a point where I don't want to ruin this for. No, but it's not a spoiler, but like there was a point where I felt like he was going for the accent super hard.
Yeah.
Like he was actually doing an impression.
Yeah.
And it's like somebody said, let's rein that in, because it's only like that one scene where it feels like, boy, he's really going for it right here.
Yeah.
And then every other scene, it's like, you know, maybe on about 10%.
Yeah. I noticed that as well. I wondered if it's funny that you mentioned that, because it's totally something I noticed. But yeah, I mean, that dude's a big deal. I want to see that video. It sounds great. But I don't think there's any chance. If BlizzCon happens E3 happens for Blizzard at all, I just hit myself with these ties in the back of this.
Scott, let's check in. I have a feeling you might want to take off your mask.
It's driving me crazy. You can go ahead
and take it off if it's not.
Oh, it's so
itchy.
You
don't want to get a rash under your chin there.
I'm so itchy. No, I don't want to lose this bet. It's staying on. People don't know about it.
We've definitely entered the itchy phase.
Yeah, there's no question. But
you never want to hear that on the day.
If Blizzard chooses to use that as a platform for announcements, I don't think that's heroes, unless they do like some sort of come out there and talk about everything that's happening in Blizzard, and then they kind of have their one more thing moment with a D4 announcement or something. But yeah, they're not going to get up and go. And for heroes, they're not going to make a mini BlizzCon, I don't think, out of that. But they
don't want to delve too deep into hyperbole, but they could. The Blizzard launcher becoming the Activision Blizzard launcher would be announcement worthy.
Well, they've already done it, right?
Yeah, kind of. But like, it's still, you know, Blizzard and featuring. It's like a rap track with a featuring on it. That's sort of how it plays right now. But
well, they've got their little lower fold thing. It's like, hey, up here's all the Blizzard games. You can go in the basement if you want. It's fine.
Yeah. It just seems at some point the transition will be it's an Activision Blizzard launcher, without saying whether that's a good or bad thing.
I don't know if that's
think it doesn't.
That seems bad.
It just seems weird to be like to have only part of your company's games on a thing. I think they all arrive there.
But they're almost. What else do they have? Like, are they still doing Skylanders? I don't even think that's a thing anymore. Like, I think Bactivision, unless they're going to revive Tony Hawk or bring Guitar Hero back in some way, I mean, they're kind of at a corner right now. I don't know what they're doing.
Aren't they bringing Spyro back? Is that not Activision? Who's bringing Spyro back?
I don't remember, but I don't know if that's enough. And certainly, isn't that that Spider-Man game is a Sony joint?
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, Activision, honestly, it's kind of a desert, and it's weird. They spent so many years relying on Call of Duty, and they still can. That game prints money.
Oh man, they're making Transformer games that get PC releases.
Yeah, well, they did, but we haven't seen one of those in a long time.
But the problem is Activision, not Blizzard, but Activision operates under we go to that well as many times till that well's gone, and then we hope there's another well somewhere that we can go to. Mm-hmm. You know, like, they put out a ton of Transformers games, but eventually people stop caring about that. So what do we do next?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. They don't have quite the seismic. They don't have a thing that's just waiting around to be the seismic industry-changing thing the way that Modern Warfare was. Like, that game genuinely altered the course of not just shooters, but progression in video games and online multiplayer and all that stuff. It was huge. There's no denying it.
Yeah, it's still one of my favorite shooter campaigns I've ever played.
No, it was amazing.
I remember going through that. It was the day after Thanksgiving. I just booted it up. I was like, well, let's give this a try. I don't feel like I gave this a fair shake. And I got to that sniper level where you're following Price and he's telling you, hold. Okay, go now. And you're like running between trucks and stuff.
Yeah.
I was like, this is the most intense video game I've ever played. Why aren't more people talking about this? And it turns out they were.
Yeah, they totally were. It was a huge deal. It was seismic. So they're waiting. I don't know what their next one of those is, but you know what? What's their big robot game that the former Call of Duty guys formed the company, Respawn Entertainment, the games
Titanfall
1 and 2. Those were cool games, but they didn't.
EA.
Oh, is that EA?
Yeah.
See,
because they used to be Activision, right. And then EA picked them up after the whole kerfuffle.
So here's your problem. They got nothing is our point. So
well, they got Duck Dynasty. They could bring that.
They could bring Duck Dynasty back, and man, they could really hammer Pitfall Harry home if they wanted to bring that one back. But my thinking is,
last time I hammered Pitfall Harry home, I went to jail. So
ask your doctor if hammering Pitfall Harry is right for you. But here's the thing: bringing Blizzard out to make some big noise is probably, the more I think about it, it's more and more likely in my head. Because otherwise, what are they doing up there? Unless I'm wrong and they don't have their own conference this year. It could be they just show up at the Microsoft or Sony conference and go, check out Call of Duty Black Ops 4, and then they leave. You know, it could be that. Time will tell. We will see.
This was about a new hero, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, Bo, give us your prediction. How soon for a new hero?
I don't know. Here's what I think. They told us at BlizzCon that the hero release pace was slowing down, and we were still on the old schedule because the content was prepared and on its way. Yeah. So I think this is the first time we're actually feeling and seeing the new pace of things. Mm-hmm. And I'm honestly all right with it. I think the pace was fast. There's always a new hero around the corner to learn and feel like you don't. I still don't really, haven't sunk my teeth into Maiev too hard or Deckard Cain that much. Like, I sort of skip. I'm almost like, you know, you skip iPhone releases.
Yeah.
I'm kind of skipping hero releases in terms of how deep I go on some of them. So,
yeah, I'm okay with this too. Welcome. There's plenty of stuff to go back and sharpen your skills on and play. In my case, play for the first time. There's some characters I've never picked up. I played my app for like 5 minutes.
It also takes the professional scene. Like they're smart and they grab onto things quick, but it takes some time because they have the hero compositions that they practice. They have their theories about what might work, what not, with new heroes all the time. It just gives them less time to bear out what might be an interesting comp because they have less games in which to experiment with stuff like this. You know, it seems like that actually helps the hero if it's going to be. Usually new releases are pretty good for competitive and get tried out, so that gives them more time to really get fleshed out, and so I think that's a good thing.
Chat room is bringing up the point that we've gotten really Problems. Nothing else regarding the lore stuff since that little comic they put out. I don't know what their plan is. Sure,
it's like how, you know, you drop a little thing and then you don't talk about it for like 10 episodes and all of a sudden boom, it's back. So yeah. I think it's
Yeah. Well, we'll see. I'm not too worried about it. Hey, a quick note to our friends over there that like to play this game on their Macs. I sometimes dabble there. I have a Mac I use. It's for all my production podcast stuff and video stuff. But occasionally I'll fire up a game. When Heroes of the Storm launched, ran great on this very Mac. No problem. Wonderful stuff. All good. If I wanted to play Diablo on here, again, great. Ran at high resolution. Looked good. They've always been really good about WoW releases on Macs. Like they've made it a priority in that company outside of Overwatch to be very multi-platform friendly when it comes to desktop. And that's been great for Mac users who aren't necessarily hardcore gamers, but found themselves in the Blizzard ecosystem. Lately, though, because I've been trying to do some tricks to get around some streaming limitations for our Heroes Charity Brawl coming up, which we'll talk about not too long from now. That game's kind of it runs like garbage on Macs right now. And I don't know why. I don't know what happened. I don't know what update it was. It's just a pig right now. And even with everything turned low, and it's not a graphics problem. It feels like a CPU issue or an optimization thing. Even on high-end multi-core, you know, pro desktop models for Macs, they're plenty of speed there. I mean, they kind of missed the discrete video card business the PCs were famous for. And yeah, a bunch of you are going, well, get a PC. Macs are no good for games. I get it, but they make them for these players, so they should be playable. And I just noticed it was kind of poop. So I'm just throwing it out there. If anybody out there has any thoughts on that or want to pipe in about it or tell us what they're doing to kind of get around it, or are you even able to play it anymore in its current form, I'd be very curious about that because I was really bummed out to see how poopy it is at the moment. And I think that thing's just kind of bloated and heavy. There's a lot of stuff going on with that engine that you know, is hard on stuff. It's hard on streaming. It's hard on CPU. It's hard on all kinds of resource issues, even on PCs. So anyway.
It felt laggy to you, right?
Yeah, it was like I would do. It wasn't a bandwidth thing. It was like the computer is calculating where you're going thing. And it's not doing this. It's not doing this in any other Blizzard game or any other kinds of games that play just fine out of Steam or anything else. It's just a weird thing, and I don't exactly get it. For example, like a new modern big crazy RPG like what's it called? Pillars of Eternity 2. That launched simultaneously on PC and Macs. I downloaded it on both, and it runs great on my Mac. Great, no problem, no issues, no weird lag, nothing. It just runs fine. I don't know why Heroes does that. Some people have suggested that because Heroes was based on the StarCraft engine, and the StarCraft engine was originally designed multiplayer-wise for two players at any given time, and they have figured out a way to shoehorn 10 in there. Like, think about that for a second. It's supposed to be one-on-one, maybe once in a while co-op with more than that or whatever, but StarCraft was mainly a one-on-one kind of experience, your army versus theirs. Now it's five people on each side, each with their own full set of whatever. It's just kind of a monumental thing for that engine to cover all of that. If you're working in less than, you know, high-end environment. So anyway, I just throw it out there that I feel you. I feel your pain. I think it sucks that it's that bad. And if you have some tricks to get around it, share it with us over at core@heroesforyou.com, and we'll spread it around and let people know. I don't want to forget about those people. They're good people.
It's really noticeable in competitive Twitch gaming, too, just because you get used to a certain feel, right? And so you can't replicate it. It's bad.
Yeah.
It looked like it ran, but it's just... Yeah, it looked like it was not responsive.
John Brandon in the chat says it will get really poopy for a lot of people once DirectX 9 support ends. That's also true. There's a lot of concern about that. Yeah, it's a weird time for that engine. I don't know what they're going to do about it or how they make it better, but
well, I mean, they must be able to, because there's a lot of talk about it, you know, replacing it, but those kinds of things can be worked on and improved, like piecemeal, right? Like,
yeah, you know. I mean, you can slowly convert something to be something totally different by the end, I guess.
DirectX 9 ending, I think, is a good thing.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, old...
I mean, potentially. It depends on what it ultimately pushes them towards and how it gets. I mean, that's the hard thing is I think we've all felt it, and I don't want it to just turn into us just complaining, but, you know, we've all had a hard time streaming this game lately. Yeah. Like, we've run into technical issues and problems and things like that. And, you know, in this day and age, you have to be able to stream your game if you want it to continue to be a popular and exciting thing in the zeitgeist. It just has to be a game that you can
stream. Part of it, I wouldn't lay it all at the feet of developers, though, because part of it is streaming is still new. It's like, I'd still say the fact that we all can stream games is nascent, and our PCs are not built for it. Like, they're built for hardcore gaming, and they're capable of doing those things, but they're not built with that use case in mind. Like, hopefully those PCs are coming where they're like, you buy this PC and you expect it to reliably stream and play games.
Yeah, you could see one that's like got a discrete chip that is doing nothing but stream handling. And there's certainly configurations now that can do a whole lot more than that. But the problem is you've got every other competitive MOBA, every other shooter, everything that's big is all very streamable and doesn't have these kind of CPU issues. It is very much an engine problem combined with what you're saying, Bo. Like, there's probably a future where it doesn't matter if your thing's not optimized for CPU usage. It won't matter because you have so much CPU, who cares? It'll just run and we don't have to think about it like most things do on computers now. You know, it used to be that pulling up your email was a pain. Well, it's not, you don't even think about it anymore. But I remember when that was slow. Wasn't that long, that many years ago. Well, it was like 15 years ago, but anyway.
Yeah, running Flash in your browser sometimes is like the worst.
It totally is. So anyway, it still can only use a single core, which means it fights with other applications that need that core. It's just not optimized. So I don't know. They never talk about it. I kind of wish somebody in the AMAs would go, yo, what's up with this engine thing? Like, all the streamers that I watch that play, including our buddy Kyle, have all had to have a dedicated streaming computer and then a second computer to do the actual playing on it. Like, they can't do it all on one. That's not true of any other games that are popular right now, or even semi-popular, or even remotely popular. So that feels bad. They gots to fix it, yo. That's all I'm saying. Hey, 3 years. Welcome to the 3 year anniversary. When is it? When's the actual year through?
It's on June 2nd or 3rd.
Yeah.
I think.
Right after our charity brawl. Cool.
Well, we share the day with it. I think we mentioned it earlier, but they actually just unlocked some skins or some banners and sprays in the game for the 3rd year.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was pretty cool because I'm like, oh, damn. I've been playing this game every day for like 3 years. That's kind of insane. I don't think I've played a game as much as I played Heroes of the Storm at this point. To look at a 3 year celebration, like, I log into WoW on the anniversary and used to do the stuff on there, but I'm a seasonal player on that game, but this have been daily, and it's a huge milestone, I think, at this point.
Yeah. Yep.
So happy anniversary, everyone.
It's pretty cool. The green is all, it's all like they went to the the World of Warcraft Legion art team and said, hey, what you guys got laying around? You got a little,
you got any green left over?
Any green?
You got a mystical number 3 in Legion green?
Yeah.
That's what I'm looking for.
Because that is totally
all Legion. Use it all in the game.
It's a little Professor Putrescide green, but it's pretty close to the same. Did you think we had forgotten? I love that guy. All right, let's
talk. Are they allowed to have? I wonder if they celebrate in the 3rd year. Is it China that doesn't? Is the superstitions about the number 3?
Oh,
do I have that right?
I don't know. Is it 3 they don't like?
I think so.
It's like us and floor 13th floor or whatever our deal is. By the way,
exactly that.
I went to a hotel in Vegas a couple weeks ago or a month ago now, and they had a 13th floor, and it felt really weird stopping there. Just throwing that out there.
Oh, I thought you were going to tell me about, because I heard you talk about this on TMS, the elevator that had an additional floor.
Yeah, that's another one.
That you didn't go to? Yeah. I'm so mad about, Scott. Story pointed out issues that I have because I was in my car yelling, like, why didn't you try it? I need to know what happened.
Yeah, no, it was the small two-story place in St. George, and we couldn't figure out what this 3rd floor was because there were only 2 floors, and I was too nervous to look. I didn't know what to expect up there. Plus, the place was kind of empty, so it kind of had like a Shining vibe going on. Like everything was just a little bit creepy. I expected blood to come pouring out of there, so I just didn't do it. But yeah, maybe next time I'm down there,
I'll check it. Before I get called out on it, number four is the unlucky number in China.
Oh, okay. Well, then we're safe for another year.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll just skip it and go right to five. Hey, China, we've been here 5 years. No, you haven't. Oh, we totally have. That's what they'll say. That'll be their excuse. I'm having too much fun with this stupid mask.
I know. I've been watching that. It's hypnotic.
All right. Finally, before we move on to an email, we got to tell you guys to check us out this weekend. It's the big weekend, a chance for you to give to charity and help out some kids and play or watch us play with a bunch of other podcasters and have really a great time at the Heroes Charity Brawl, which you can find details for and early donations for at heroescharitybrawl.net. The place is right here at frogpants.tv. The details are, of course, on that site. You're going to want to be here at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern. That's when the fun starts. It's right when we normally do our There Will Be Dungeon session. But this week, we're taking it off and doing this like we have. This will be our third year. So another third year anniversary, which is super exciting. HeroesCharityBrawl.net. Big thanks to everybody who's already donated. It's crazy how that works, but you can totally do that. And then while we're doing the actual event, might be a great place for you to come in and help a children's charity, specifically the Make-A-Wish Foundation. And let's help some kids have some cool stuff.
We're already up to $435. We haven't even started yet. So yep. Thank you all to your early donators.
All new games, all new crazy events, insane new thoughts that may turn out to be brawls in the future. Who knows? You never know. Like Battle for the Bullion. Never forget, man. Never forget. Any other thoughts on that?
I'm excited. It's going to be, you know, another wild year, and we're hoping to make it just as engaging as it was last time. So if you were there last year, you know that people had quite a bit of fun with the Scott Died meme. Mm-hmm. And we're bringing back Vesa, I believe. She's going to be joining us, and she was great. I love having her as part of the stream, and there'll be prizes.
Yeah, and, confirmed. I got the notice. Right before we went on. There will be prizes.
Nice.
Yeah. So if you like free things, donate to up your chances to win, I think.
Yeah.
I think that's how it works. I'm not the prize coordinator.
I don't remember.
It couldn't hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah. It won't hurt.
Yeah.
You should just donate anyways, but really, you know.
Think of the kids. Kids first.
Something sure. In it for you.
Sure, sure. Look, they're going to be three
I'm
girls.
I'm not judging
there.
People who show up and win prizes. I'm just saying it's about supporting a charity. And if you went and didn't give anything, but you got something, that's a little.
Yeah.
It's not. It doesn't look good karmically. Right.
It's not a good look. Sure. Yeah. It's the optics are off. I get it. Also, I cannot believe it, but there are two of our players. Guys are totally women, all right? And then Vesa, of course, helping us out with some stuff too. The fact that we will have three girls there shows that we are making a real effort to not be the loudest bunch of white guys in the room. It's nice to have some diversity. I like it a lot. So
we're celebrating. You know, it's a diverse audience, the Heroes of the Storm.
Oh, my chin itch is so bad. I'm gonna scream. It's
you should take it off.
No, I'm making it.
Draw this out longer. Let's just see how long we can make the show go.
I feel like there's gonna be a big red rash around this face.
These freaking cheap masks.
Like, everyone will be like, did you get your head stuck in a toilet bowl?
I'm really not looking forward to it now. I had somebody on Twitter say they'd give me real money for this thing. Like, dude, I will totally pay you a bunch of money for that. I'm like, not after I've used it like this. That's gross.
You know, so that increases its value. All you got to do is sign it in the back.
Oh, yeah. I want some greasy Scott in my life. That's fantastic.
I wonder what I could get from mine. Mine's got soda in the chin.
Probably a lot more than you think. Ew.
Why are you dribbling? In
I didn't mean to. There's a gap. Look, it's not against my lip. Scott had to do it real delicately, but he's got a little nub on the water bottle that helps him.
You guys are the whiniest luchadors I've ever
I know. Bo has successfully worn his like newspaper hat this entire time.
Yeah, he's really sacrificed for the show. Newspaper hat.
Man, I've got to balance it up here. If I move my head a certain way, it'll fall off. Yours is strapped into your face.
It's very impressive.
Look, I just want the Medivh skin that Bo is repping right here, because that looks like homeless garbage Medivh. I'm really looking forward to.
Oh my gosh, dude. If it wasn't so close to edging up on bad PC, a hobo Medivh is a great skin just for the newspaper on the head.
Yeah, he could have the handkerchief and the stick. Yeah. You know, like, yeah.
And we're not talking homeless Medivh. We're talking mystical hobo on a train Medivh.
He can turn into what we call here in Canada a shithawk. Ever heard of a shithawk before?
No, I feel like this is a Trailer Park Boys thing. Tell me more about
it. Another term for it is it's a Quebec chicken. Okay. Sorry, Quebecois. I'm from Quebec, so I can say these things.
Yeah.
But they call it it's a pigeon.
Okay.
A shithawk is a pigeon.
Really?
Yeah. You see people, they're like, oh, there's a couple shithawks over there.
So you could do that. He could have a shithawk, and he could have the newspaper, the bindle.
Sack.
Yeah, the little
bindle sack.
Yeah.
He can poo. Yeah, he'll let little shithawk poos out.
His portal could be like a shack door, just going schlink, and it opens up. He could have
it's a McDonald's garbage bin, and you go into one and come out the other side.
You're describing the coolest skin in the history of the game. Why is it being made? It needs to happen.
Yeah.
It's probably offensive to somebody. It's a problem. All right. That's great. That's good. Here's an email. I don't know. You know, I think mystical hobo with powers. People think homeless guy.
Look, if you're offended by homeless people, there's something you can do.
That's true, dude. Maybe do something about it. Hey, email from a listener whose name is Crush with a K. Crush.
Isn't that the turtle from Finding Nemo?
Oh. Is it Crush or the Crushinator?
It just says Crush, so I don't know.
Okay, because I met one of our listeners on a bus here in Ottawa, and I think his name was the Crushinator.
Funny enough, Bo was wearing the exact same outfit.
Sir, you're going to have to
send
him
back.
He's
like, I love you on card. I was like, you got any change, man?
You want to go to McDonald's, get a burger?
Yeah, you start dancing.
I'll sign your goddamn... bag for a couple dollars.
You start singing Spoon Man and dancing for money. I love it. This person wrote in, Crush, if it is him, let us know. Says, hello, Core Hounds. Let me start off by saying I agree the bundles should be more subdivided. Make them cost whatever extra for making them small, but that option is a good one. I also think the decision to lower the sun's out probability in the next Mania boxes was a good one. I do take issue with you guys, however, how you guys viewed the value of loot boxes, though, and it comes down to framing. If you're actually in the mindset that the only thing you're trying to do is get good and everything else could get trash, what? That doesn't make sense. If you're actually in the mindset that only the thing you're trying to get is good, there you go, and everything else you could get is trash, then yes, loot boxes are not going to be good or a good value for you. However, I don't think that's fair to say. I, quote, opened 52 boxes and only got 2 skin tints. That's giving no value to the hundreds of other items you got, or for that matter, shards, that you may have been jazzed about getting at any other time. Just because they are not part of the current event doesn't mean the content is worthless. I also wanted to say that my experience with loot boxes, this event has been great. I bought 25 boxes so far. 4 event loot, and I have Garage, Sonya, and ETC, as well as a few new announcers, and oddly enough, a Dark Nexus Alarak. It's also delightful looking for the Carbot content in the loot box. Always nice to see those in there. Keep up the great work on the show. Always look forward to the new shows and the laughs every week. Crush. All right, Crush. Other than butchering your second paragraph, let me say this to you there, buddy. I think I agree with him. Like, he's right. Like, our expectations are we want a gold wiggly medallion to pop out of a box and then find out it's a really cool legendary we didn't have before. And when we don't get that, then we're done. We feel the same way about Overwatch, or at least I have before. And it's not really fair there either. You're getting cash.
No, I think it's like, I'm sorry, but I'm the one kind of getting called out. So I'm going to throw a little shade back. I think it's totally fair to say I was disappointed in my 52 loot boxes. I was. I'm not telling you that you would be with yours, but hearing what you got, you did a lot better than me. Mm. Like when I look at your
the boxes.
Yeah, when I look at your 25, that sounds way better than my 52. If I'm being honest, it was way better than my 104 that I ended up opening over the course of the entire event.
Right.
I it depends on what you ultimately want out of it. I do agree. If you're in a position where you want a lot of things out of it, then yeah, there's a lot of value there. But I have a lot of these things. I was playing Heroes for a long time before 2.0 came out. And then, because I thought it would be good content, I bought a crap ton of boxes to open on stream. And I had a lot of stuff already. So it was a lot of shards, and that did allow me to buy some things I wanted. And I didn't feel it was empty, but if you go back and listen to what I actually said, it was, what is better, going the loot box route or buying, saying, you know what, I'm going to take the hit, it's a lot of money, and I'm going to buy the bundle. And the end result is the bundle was the better way to go. Like, that's just the way it ultimately panned out for me. I'm not trying to devalue Dark Nexus Alarak, but I also already had him. So
the one thing I would say is that this is highly, it's gambling, right? You know, two people can buy a lottery ticket and you ask the guy who didn't win and the guy who won $60 million how they feel, and they're going to, you know, $60 million guys will be like, lottery's great, everyone should play this. Man, this $60 million is great. Well, I don't know why people trash a lottery. And the guy who's been lost is like, man, I lost again. I really wish I had the $2 back.
Yeah,
you know, or whatever. You know, it's like that. The nature of loot box is that it's a gambling proposition, and I think, like, mathematically speaking, you could end up with the worst. You know, it's probably a statistic anomaly, but you could have gotten nothing.
Even
with guaranteed, all of your legendaries could have been shards, and everything cool could have been shards, and you could have walked away just being like, well, I guess I got shards, but. Shards doesn't, it's like that in Overwatch 2, the money in shards. I know the value proposition is, oh, it's a control, so at least you get to buy what you want, but it's really expensive. You know, you have to open 10 times the boxes it would take to get it. So
right.
Yeah.
Well, if you really want to be gambling. If you want to be a real gambler, though, you could pre-order Fallout 76, whatever the hell that is, for 20% off on Prime membership over at Amazon. They've put a teaser out for a game that we don't know jack about. All we know is it's called a thing, that it's tied to Fallout somehow, and yet you can go and throw down your $60 right now for a game you don't know a thing about. That's gambling in video games, folks. Boom! Oh, wait,
I think people are saying it's an online survival RPG.
Some people, there's rumors, but they're nothing official from them yet. Online survival RPG sounds terrible to me.
Why would they rip off Overwatch so blatantly?
With the 76?
Yeah, come on. Fallout : 76.
Yeah.
I mean, don't you think Union 76 was like, come on, Overwatch.
How about why are you
repping our gas so hard with your old man?
I hope they sue the shit out of them.
They won't.
I'm not, hopefully Crush isn't taking that too hard. I'm just saying, like, I'm glad it's working out for some people, but it didn't ultimately hit for me in the comparison I was trying to make. I do think something needs to be done about legendaries. Like, getting a legendary should feel good all the time, every time, at least varying degrees of good. And every legendary I got from those loot boxes was a duplicate of something I already had. So it didn't feel wonderful.
A boot to the peepee. I understand.
Yep. That's exactly how I said it. It's weird. It's like you were here. When I opened it, I was like, well, this is a real boot to the peepee right there.
That's right. Great minds and all that. Hey, if you want to email us, you can. core@heroesforyou.com. That's core@heroesforyou.com. And in fact, I would recommend you go to heroesforyou.com, because now every episode we post comes with a blog post that means comments from you. So if you want to have a conversation on the site, you can do that now. You'll get show notes. You'll have links to stuff we talked about. All that stuff's there now at heroesforyou.com. And there's also a link at the top of that page where you can contact us directly if you'd prefer to do that. I think that's going to do it. Don't forget, our entire show here that we do, that we make, is supported at patreon.com/core show, all because of you guys. patreon.com/core show. And huge thanks to those who do. We will continue to make great content for you if you continue to show your love to us at patreon.com/core show. That's going to do it for the show, I think. Follow John on Twitter. He's at John_Jagger. Follow Bo at Bo Schwartz. And follow me at Scott Johnson. And as always, Core@heroesforyou.com is our email address. That's going to do it for us. For me, for Bo, for John. See you next time. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
That's a good question.